fourth barrier to asking for what we want is low self-esteem. Most people don't know this, but 2 out of 3 Americans have low self-esteem. Only 1 out of 3 have high. Mark and I often say at our seminars, look to your right, look to your left. One of you is okay, 2 of you are in trouble. And when you think about that, that's pretty amazing. And what happens when you have low self-esteem is you don't feel worthy of asking. You don't feel worthy of receiving. I remember doing a workshop in Florida for the St. Leo Abbey. It was a group of Benedictine monks. And we were talking about why they had joined a monastery. And many of them were there because they really wanted to develop their spiritual life. But there was one guy there who wasn't there for that at all. He was there out of guilt and unworthiness. Turns out during World War II, he had taken a whole troop up the Rhine River. And as they got up the river, they were attacked. And he was the only survivor out of like several hundred men. And he felt so guilty that he had been responsible for this troop, and he was the only survivor when he got out of the war, went to Miami, went on a 2-week drunk, and then he joined the monastery. And he'd been there for almost 40 years when I worked with him in the 1980s. And he was there because he didn't believe he deserved to have any happiness in his life. And many of us are running that same game. I don't deserve, and therefore, why would I ask for something I don't believe I deserve? A lot of people feel their needs aren't important, never got what they wanted. Therefore, they never felt that they were validated in their importance. Patty Aubrey, who works for me, and we mentioned her earlier, said that she was always asking her ex-husband what she wanted for her birthday. She was a good asker, and she was very specific. And he would never give her what she wanted. And she'd say, well, what made you decide to get me this instead of what I originally wanted? And he would say, well, I just thought you'd use this more often. So what he was doing was discounting her preferences, discounting her desires and needs. And if that happens to you over and over as a child, as a wife, whatever, pretty soon you begin to believe that your needs aren't important, and therefore why should you ask for them? Another aspect of that is the sense of, I'm not worth it. I remember when my son came to me and he wanted to do this Pinewood Derby that they do in the Boy Scouts, where you have to carve these pieces of balsa wood into these racers, and that is not my thing. I am not good with my hands. I'm mostly good with my mouth and my head. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm working with him on this thing, and I spend a couple nights with him. I think I've been the really good father. And then I get the story that we included in one of our Chicken Soup for the Soul books, where they say, well, as a parent, you're supposed to create memories for your child, something that they'll look back at and never forget. Like Hanuk McCarty, who's one of our co-authors of a Chicken Soup book, took his kids once, and he drove them all across the country, and they stopped at every body of water from Cleveland to the Pacific Ocean. Any body of water they saw, they swam in it. If it was a lake, a pond, a river, whatever it was. Now, these kids will remember that for life. So the story that we put in the book was about this father who spent the entire summer, every free moment, every night, every weekend, helping his kid build this race car that they would then have in one of these, you know, derby races. And later he said, knowing that my dad would do that made me realize that I was important enough to spend time with. Therefore, I realized I was important enough to have anything I wanted in life. I was worthy of it. And I sat there thinking about the 2 evenings I'd spent on this stupid Pinewood Derby, and I started to feel really, you know, a little bit guilty that maybe I hadn't done that. Here I was perhaps passing on my own neurosis to my own kids. As a result of that, I spend a whole lot more time with them. But I think it's important that we realize many of us are walking around with low self-esteem because we never got what we wanted. Therefore, we don't think we deserve what we want.
I want to hitchhike on that and keep talking about our friend Dr. Hanuk McCarty, who's one of the most brilliant presenters. Jack and I are going to what was then called ABA American Booksellers, and we're in the back of this crowded cab in Chicago on a hot, sultry day that the humidity, we're all just drenched with sweat and the air conditioning's not working. And Hanuk levels us with this story. He says, I'm out doing seminars and I'm becoming famous and I haven't really been talking to my family very much. And Dad calls me up and says, boy, I'm in a hospital and I'm going to be dead within a day. And I know you and I haven't been close, but I think we need to resynchronize in time and space. And I know that I'm a cop and that you're a great educator and a doctor and all that, but would you please come to be at my bedside? Well, Hanuk had never had his dad ask him for anything in his whole life because he's a big, strong, macho man, New York cop, and you just don't ask your little boy to do that. Well, Hanuk said, I dropped everything. And he said, I went to Dad. And I'm sitting right next to Hanuk. Hanuk's by the window. I'm in the middle of the car. Jack's to my left. And he grabs my hand, and he's looking me straight in the eye, and he starts to say to all the words of love that he said to his dad. Well, holy cow, it was so poignant and so tender and so loving, and I wish I could recount it all, that the cab driver pulled over to the side of the road, and he says, I'm crying because I never said I love my father once in my whole life, and now I hear you guys in the back saying how much you love your parents. And as I say this to you, my eyes are just weltering over. But it was so nice that Hanuk had the courage to say, look, what's really important is Dad. It's not one more talk to 4,000 people. It's not one more anything else. It is being with the most important man in my life, the man who brought me into life.